Well, I desire an interest in your prayers this evening. I'd like to this evening maybe tie a little bit of what was spoken of this morning with a couple of some of the past Sunday evening messages. The title of the message this evening is, the subject is, Judge Not. We've spent some time on the verse in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter and the 14th verse several Sundays ago, that said, let all your things be done with charity. It said, let all your things be done with charity. Not some things, not most things, but let all things be done with charity. And then more recently we read the account by Jesus, given by Christ, outlining the types of activities that would be defined by the sheep and the goats that he divided. When he divided the sheep from the goats, the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand, and then he went through and itemized quite a number of things that exemplified the life of the ones that were separated on both his right and his left. And simply put, the ones that he divided to his right were defined by living a life where they demonstrated acts of kindness to those that are in need. You see, Christianity and holy living, we've been talking about holy living, Christianity is a whole lot more about than just having a holy look. It has to do with a whole lot more about just having a holy and a righteous appearance. It has a whole lot more to do with than just saying the right things, having all of the right words to be able to put together and say in a group of people. Christianity at its core involves loving and serving other people according to the will of God. And if that's gone, and we've talked about that quite often now, if that's missing, then we are missing the very foundational core of Christian living that the Lord wants to build in our lives. If we are missing love, then our lives and our testimony of Christianity ends up being noise without really much depth at all. And it doesn't reach people if you're missing love. The verse simply states, God is love. God is love. He exemplifies, he personifies, he is the epitome of what love is all about. And so the scriptures teach us that we are to represent Christ to the world, which means we then have a responsibility to take the love of Christ not only to the world, but to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're not exempt from the Lord wanting us to feel love and compassion and mercy from our very own brothers and sisters in the congregation and our sister congregations. As we stated a couple Sundays back, or maybe it was last Sunday, like maybe last Sunday evening, we live in a troubled world where there are those that are hungry and thirsty and alone and empty and in bondage all around us. We live in a life, a world full of these types of people, and a lot of times we interact with people that are hurting and empty and in bondage, and we don't know it. a lot of times. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And many times it's different circumstances and situations that put people in hungry and thirsty and alone and exposed and in bondage situations. They don't just wake up one morning and they're there, but often what happens is there's a sequence of events in life. There are circumstances that people find themselves in that lead to the place where people end up being in this category, in these places of need. And we, as people, often see the outward result, in part. Sometimes we think we know what we're seeing, and it's really not reality. But we often do see the consequences, the results, fruit, if you will, that come out. But what we don't see is often is what created that in the first place. We just see things that come out. The scripture says, and Jesus said, in fact, he made the point twice within just a few verses of each other in the Sermon on the Mount, that you'll know people by their fruit. By their fruit, you'll know them. If there are people that have a habit of doing certain things, they run by your house every morning at 6:30 in the morning, just like clockwork, you'll know that person by the fruit. They run by at 6:30 every morning. You'll get to know them. But what you don't know is why they're doing that. You may not know exactly what's driving them to do that. Whether they're trying to be out of the house for a particular reason at 6:30, whether they're hurting in their mind and they're trying to get some relief, whether they have physical problems that they're dealing with. We don't know that a lot of time. We just see that they just ran by my house at 6:30 every morning. We began to know them by that. And you can go to the other end of the spectrum, and there's people that you know that seem to be full and carefree and rich in different areas, and seems like they don't have a care in the world. And both of these categories, kind of at both ends of the spectrum, we can unfortunately make judgments about these people. We can judge their motives and their hearts and categorize them sometimes, if you will. We make judgments that often are incorrect and can be hurtful. Hurtful to people, and can hinder our ability to reach people that have a need, that they're crying out for help, for somebody to show them some love. And sometimes it's the most unlovable people that need the most love. Often it is. That are crying out in that way. And I think this too, that sometimes because we ourselves have needs, that we look at other people through the lens of our own needs and our own weaknesses. Sometimes. And we can judge other people's actions according to how we think and according to where our heart is. And if our heart isn't in the right place, and we may do something for all the wrong reasons, and then when somebody else does that, we apply our heart and project that onto them. And in the end, it becomes more of a reflection of us than it does the person that we're observing in the first place. And that's a dangerous place to be. It can be a hurtful place to be. So tonight, I'd like to read a couple verses of caution and instruction. Matthew 7:1. a very common, well-known verse, says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." And I just want to make this point. This is Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount, in three of the chapters that perhaps are some of the most well-read New Testament chapters in the entire Bible. And the Lord knew that these words were going to be spread far and wide, and it was important to Jesus Christ that we as people would get a hold of this truth. And so He put it right here, right in the forefront for us to get a hold of, if we will. And He said, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, 'Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye'?" Should be thought-provoking. Do we want the Lord to judge us exactly how we judge other people? Do we want Him to mete out to us the judgment that we sometimes can be so quick to mete out to other people? Romans 2, these are the two passages I'd like to read tonight. Romans 2 and 1, the Apostle Paul used very strong words. He chose to use strong words for a reason, because he understood the seriousness of it. He said it this way, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" These are both very cautionary passages that we've read, and passages that I personally want to really be able to get a hold of. The word judge means to form an opinion or judgment about. But more specifically, the word judge means to conclude. To determine. To decide. Judge. To conclude. To determine. And to decide. It speaks of something that is kind of established and final. You know, when you have a judge in a court, the judge listens to everything, and then he issues his judgment, and he hits with his gavel, and that's it. And oftentimes, if we're not really careful, we can take on the position of judge. And sometimes it's more than just an opinion, where we leave room for something else. But if we're not really careful, we conclude. We got to the end. We saw it all, and that's where we concluded. And that's it. We determined. We looked at it all, and then we determined
This is what it is. We decided.
We didn't leave it open so much, but we made a determination and decided, and we concluded. And the Lord cautions us about making conclusions and determinations and categorizing people, particularly when we are unable to see their heart. We don't know their motives. We can't begin to understand why people do what they do a lot of times. We're not God. I can't judge hearts like God does. That's a God thing. And the scripture also says that His Word is quick. The Holy Spirit is quick. It's alive. It has all-knowing power. And it says that it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Do you remember what the verse said? Of soul and spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit's able to do. He's able to take something and categorize. God is able to determine and to decide and conclude this falls in the category of soul things, and this is spirit. Who wants to take that on? God can do that. And it also says that he's able to divide the joints and the marrow. Well, that's pretty close. But he's able to get right exactly where it is. And it said he's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I can't do any of these. Now, who wants to claim this ability? We say not I, yet we're tempted to try a lot of times. Don't we? Sometimes, without hardly knowing what we're doing. We don't always do it because we mean bad. We're human beings. We process information. We see things and we make determinations. We make conclusions. We make judgments. And that's okay to a point. God made us with a mind to make decisions based on things that we see and to our understanding. And the Lord knows that, but what He wants to do is caution us, though, that when it comes to judging other people as to are they right with God or not, are they saved or are they not saved? Did they mean good by this or did they not mean good? And sometimes we're 99% sure and we're sometimes 99% right. But then there's other times where we can get it so wrong. And then we treat people differently because we've categorized and bucketed them in areas that don't reflect well on them. And we've cast them off to the side. And the Lord said here that He'll judge us as we judge other people. And so that gives me pause. So this verse in Romans, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, you're just condemning yourself because thou that judgest doeth the same things. Have you ever gotten on to somebody about something? and you were pretty energetic about it, perhaps. And then not very long later, you found yourself doing exactly the same thing. Have you ever done that? Am I the only one that has ever found myself to have done that? Where you evaluate what somebody's doing something, and maybe you don't do exactly the same thing, but in essence it's the same thing. It just has different clothes on. It just looks a little different. But in reality, it's the same thing. Well, that person is just a prideful, proud person because they did X, Y, and Z. And then 3 days later, you do something that maybe is a little bit different from that, and the Holy Spirit touches you on the shoulder and says, that right there was pride. Just like the judgment that you had on somebody else over here. Well, when I think about these things, it causes me to be slower to judge. Not put my head in the sand. Not ignore reality. But to be careful. Be careful about how quick I am to make hard and fast conclusions and determinations and decisions about people and why they do what they do. Does this mean that we're just happy to let's just live and let live? Just however anybody wants to live, we'll just all hold hands and sing a nice song together and let everybody live however they want, and we'll accept it as right because that's what they want to determine as right. And so we're not going to judge anybody on anything. Just live however you want. And no, that's not my message tonight. The Bible teaches against that. In fact, the Scriptures teach us that faithful are the wounds of a friend. The Bible tells us to be wise as serpents. The Bible teaches us to try the spirits to see if they be of God and make some decisions around that. And be careful about decisions we make in our own lives that it's right and it's pure and it's godly and it's righteous according to the Word of God, not just how I think. And we heard this morning in Sunday school about Eli and his sons, and how if we're not really careful, we let a little bit slip here. Oh, that's not so bad. We're going to let that go. We don't want to be judgmental. But we don't want to be judgmental often for the wrong reason, because we don't want other people to judge us. See, that's a big part of the spirit that's in the world, is they don't want anybody to judge anybody else because they don't want to be judged. They want to be able to live just however they want to live. Our purpose as Christians and as holy people, we want to live lives that are acceptable before God His way, not our way. I want to know, Lord, what do You want for me in my life so that I can live holy and acceptable before You in the way that You're pleased with, so that I then can be a light to other people in the world so that I can show them what's right. So it isn't about, let's just never condemn anything. The Scriptures are very clear that when people have a problem and they're behaving in a wrong way, there's even Scriptures that help teach us how to deal with that. And it isn't to remain silent. It isn't to just go into our corner and let them do whatever they're doing. It's to address it according to the Word of God. But there's a difference in holding truth in righteousness versus holding truth in unrighteousness, in an unrighteous way. There's a difference between the two. And leaving with God the things that are God's to deal with. I'm glad I'm not the one at the judgment that when everybody comes through, I'm the one that has to decide whether or not they make it into heaven or whether or not they're cast into hell for eternity. I'm glad I don't have to do that. If I don't want to do it there, why would I want to do it here? What I do want to do is I want to do everything I can to help people get to heaven. I want to be careful that I live in a way that they can follow my example and be safe. And when I see somebody that is in need, that I can take action in a way that would uplift and encourage and teach other people with the purpose of restoration. I can teach people things with the purpose of squashing them, putting them in their place, showing them how wrong they are, or God can help us to teach other people when we see them in error with the purpose of restoring them to a better place. I want to treat other people like I'd like to be treated. And give people the opportunity to learn from their failures, as I would like to have opportunity to learn from mine. Because I fail, and so do you. And sometimes people fail, and what we see is their failure. What we don't see is their tears of anguish later, and their sorrow for having failed, and their repentance. Maybe it didn't affect me. Maybe they don't owe me an apology. But from a distance, I see them do something, and I make conclusions based on what I see, and what I don't see is a whole different story. So as opposed to taking on the role of judge, I want to take on the role of being merciful, of being a peacemaker, of helping protect the reputation of other people. You know, it takes a lifetime to build a reputation. Reputations are built on many, many days and years. And it takes no time at all to destroy it. It can take a lifetime to build. Can destroy it with a phone call. And I think the Lord is exhorting us to be careful that we don't do that. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I think this teaching that Jesus and Paul brought out in the verses we read tonight, it can cut close, because it is close. We want to hold the truth to the line and the plummet. That's what we want to do. But we want to do it in the way that God wants us to do it. And we want to leave with God the things that are God's. And be careful that we don't assume responsibility that isn't ours to assume. And always, we want to serve one another with love. It's not love to cause somebody to think that when they're doing something wrong that it's right. That's not love. If you know someone's getting ready to walk into the fire and it's going to be an inconvenience to tell them to they need to get on a different road, it's not love to say, "Well, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to disrupt their walk," because you know what's ahead of them. That's not love. Love is in a Christ-like way to do what we can to help souls make it to heaven. And there's a difference in what motivates us sometimes, whether it's to get somebody or whether it is to help somebody. So this evening, let's watch. Let's stand fast. Let's quit like men. Finish like men. Let's be strong in the faith. Let's be soldiers, strong soldiers for Jesus Christ that can be depended on to do what's right. And may God help us to do all of these things with love. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.